This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's bring our man in here, David Archer. Obviously, the voice of Atlanta Falcons along with Wes Durham and, of course, our colleague at 92.9 The Game. And before we get into the Falcons and the draft and all that, I want to ask David and get his thoughts on the news we got this morning about looks like the Saints are getting closer to a one-year deal with Jameis Winston.
Yeah, you kind of figured, guys, and good morning to you guys. And it's good to know that you've kind of carried on the draft tradition with kids and dogs and all that kind of stuff right there in the draft room with you. So that's great. Hey, good to be on with you guys.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, you kind of figured that Jameis, that he was going to have to try to find a landing spot that was going to facilitate. And this might be the best scenario there is, right, guys? When you start looking around, where is a place where you've got a veteran quarterback that's probably in the waning years of his career that he could step in? Because let's face it, Jameis is not going to be a starter in this league this next season. He's going to have to find a place where he can begin to rebuild his career, rebuild his reputation. And why not go to one of the great quarterbacks of all time, maybe one of the better offensive systems in National Football League, to rebuild that and with Sean Payton and Drew Brees? So if that gets done, I think that's a nice pickup for the Saints as a backup quarterback, and it's certainly a great situation for Jameis Winston.
Bit of a problem with David Sell here, but David Archer joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Just a follow-up to that, because are you a little surprised seeing the quarterback movement within the division like we've seen it this year? First, Teddy Bridgewater leaves New Orleans, goes to Carolina. Now, we got Jameis going up to New Orleans, and not only that, but I truly believe that Sean Payton and that organization is pushing all the chips to the middle of the table this year, because A, they're just probably sick as can be about how they have exited the playoffs the last couple of years, and then Tampa Bay stepping things up with Brady going down there, now Gronk. Your thoughts on, like I said, the movement within the division as far as quarterbacks?
Yeah, it's been interesting to see teams maybe trying to catch their windows, guys. I mean, certainly Atlanta's in a window with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones that they're going to try to maximize. And Carolina's got a brand new situation, so they reload with Teddy Bridgewater. I think that Bruce Arians, I don't know how much longer Bruce Arians wants to coach, but he certainly has went and got a big-time quarterback, obviously, in Tom Brady. He's got tremendous weapons around him. And, then, of course, Brees in his last go-around. This might be the last year for Brees. They've made some efforts to retool and restock the shelf around him. I think the Emmanuel Sanders pickup was outstanding. They tried to help out a little bit on their defensive side of the ball, retooled that interior offensive line with Ruiz, the center. So I think that the division is in a really good spot to really push two, maybe even three teams into the playoff picture.
Spending time on the waitfor.com. That's our hotline this morning with David Archer, of course, part of the Falcons broadcast crew that you hear here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, joining us now. And thoughts about the Falcons draft now. A lot of people were wondering, and I was one of the people that almost leaped over my monitor when I saw the 49ers take the player. I thought the Falcons really had their sights set on, but they get a corner. Your thoughts about it, Dave?
Well, I was one of those guys leaping over everything to try to get to Kinlaw as well. I really liked Kinlaw, Sam, and I thought he was a perfect fit. He would have been a guy right next to Big Grady in the interior, and all of a sudden you really like what the interior defensive front looks like. And then maybe find a corner a little bit later on. But when Kinlaw came off the board, then you really had to begin to look at the corner spot. And I know there's a lot of people wondering, well, was Terrell a little bit early in the draft process? Based on everything I could gather and everything that I was looking at from a prognostication standpoint and ranking standpoint, the latest Terrell was going to last on the board would might have been back to 21, so maybe five picks later, and there were two teams right behind you that needed a corner. In fact, three corners came off the board after Terrell came off the board. So to gauge whether maybe it was early for Terrell, maybe a couple of picks, but hey, he was a need guy. You're within that realm of where he's supposed to come off the board. You got to grab him. He's an excellent press man guy. And to me, guys, if you compared all the corners, especially the ones that were highly rated in the top six or seven, this guy fits Atlanta better than any of them do because of his ability to play multiple styles. When you look at what Brent Venables did at Clemson, and then you look at what Raheem Morris wants to use, how he wants to use the corners here in Atlanta, it's almost a mirror image. You can play off, play cover three. You can roll up, play catch technique with a cover two. You come up, play bump and run. Those are all things. You blitz off the slot or off the corner spot. We saw him do all that stuff at Clemson. That's the way he's going to be used here. So I think it's a seamless transition for him from a concept standpoint to immediately plug in here. Now he's going to get, you know, better players. Got to get ready for the best of the best when you start playing the wide receivers of the National Football League. But as far as a transition from college to pro and systems, this was a perfect fit for A.J. Terrell.
Dave, that thoughts, he's coming in. The Falcons do get that guy to go beside Grady. And with the second round pick, and maybe he comes in with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder too. But it looks like he's going to be a great fit.
Marlon Davidson is a beast, Sam, Greg. This guy, he has the ability, again, multifaceted player to play on the interior and then slide outside. As you guys know, in covering the SEC and it being right in our backyard here, Marlon Davidson played on the interior his first few years at Auburn, and then last year shifted outside to play the edge. And he and Derrick Brown were monsters on that defensive front for Auburn. But I agree with you, Sam. He's got a little bit on his – he felt like he should have gone earlier. He felt like he was the highest-rated guy in the class. And frankly, I love that. That's the guy I want. I want a guy that's got a little more gasoline in the tank, so to speak. But I think this kid, his ability to rush from in the interior and then be able to play tough on the edge, I think he brings a lot to the table for Atlanta and a lot of versatility up front.
David Archer joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Have you thought about what is going on right now with all of us, and especially being a professional athlete? Were you still playing? What would you be doing to prep for, okay, you've just been drafted by the Falcons, but yet you can't go to the facility, you can't do the things that you normally do. What do you do? What would you do if you were an athlete right now and you're playing during your playing days?
No, I think you got to maximize, and I did a little bit of this, Greg, was I didn't necessarily have a guy to throw to all the time. I know I had a bag of I think 8 NFL balls, and I would go to a high school field or a grade school or wherever I could find that was open, and that's the biggest problem. I keep hearing stories about Tom Brady going to a park and trying to throw the ball, and they kicked him out of the park. I mean, if you're the best player at your position of all time, and you get kicked out of the park, then nobody's going to get in that place, right? So, but I think that there's ways to do it. I had early in my career, I went ahead and had a gym built in my house where I had weights and different apparatus to work on cardiovascular. Obviously, you can get outside, you can run hills, run stadium stairs, but throwing the football or doing football related things becomes very difficult, especially if you're an offensive lineman, if you're a defensive lineman, and working on moves and working on combination stunts, maybe even as a corner, being able to backpedal, mirror a receiver, that becomes hard. As a receiver, you can run the routes against air. Now, you don't have necessarily a defender up in your face, but still you can run your routes. As a defensive player, it's more react to what you're seeing, and so that becomes a little bit more difficult. But from a quarterback perspective, I would have had my bag of balls. I'd have gone out and found some open patch of grass. I'd have stepped off whatever I needed to throw, the out route, the curl route, and I'd have thrown those balls. Then I'd have run and got those balls and brought them back. So there's some simulation, a little bit like golf, Greg, in that respect, where you simulate the shot, you simulate what you need to do, and that's what you visualize as a player. I did all of that even when we weren't in this pandemic scenario when I was playing. So I think that there's a way to be ready to play or be ready to go for training camp.
Spend the time on the waitforit.com hotline with David Archer. He is social. He is social. You can find him on Twitter at ArcherQB16, all lowercase. Dave, while I got you here, talk about quarterbacks and this draft and some guys that we know very well who dropped really low. The fact that Green Bay takes one in late in the first round. Which is there something, a quarterback move that happened during this draft that perhaps surprised you more than any other?
I don't know if there was a surprise, Sam, because it didn't seem like there was a, other than right at the top where you had you had the three quarterbacks come off the board in the first six picks. Then it was going to be kind of a hit or miss scenario because there weren't a lot of places out there that needed a quarterback or was in dire need of that young new quarterback, especially with some of the veteran free agents we've talked about that were on the move or have moved to other places. So, as far as the two guys that played here at Georgia, Eason and Fromm, I hate to see guys drop like that because they were rated higher than that. I thought that Eason ended up in a really good spot. I mean, he's in Indianapolis where you've got Phillip Rivers. How much longer is Phillip Rivers going to play? And there's an opportunity for Eason potentially to slide right into a place where he learns from one of the best that's played the game. And next thing, though, he steps in. For Fromm, interesting place. And I was surprised Buffalo took him, not because I don't think he's a good player, just because, they got a young quarterback already and Fromm kind of falls into a situation where he's in a backup scenario. I think Fromm has the opportunity to be, and I heard some comparisons of Fromm, like Jake Delhomme, some of those guys, that's just a heady guy that makes plays. I mean, the guy was a winner here at Georgia. So I think he'll find a place to make a home in the National Football League. Whether he becomes a starter, obviously that'll be on him. But I think the quarterback thing scenario this year was fairly easy to gauge because there was like three teams that really needed one, and then everybody else, if you picked one, it was just kind of a luxury pick.
Dave, as we watched this draft play out, once again, we saw that the need for running backs isn't that important to the NFL overall picture because, listen, you got one guy going the first round. You got DeAndre Swift not going to the second round, going to Detroit. We have talked about the positions that were once glorified and how they are sort of diminished over the last few years, and this last draft just showed that out, man.
Yeah, guys, the running back position has evolved into a weapon of multiplicity, really. I mean, obviously you want some run game, and nothing helps a young quarterback or even a quarterback that wants to play action in a run game. But it's got to be it's a complementary piece now. It's about throwing the football, spreading people across the field, and do you have a multifaceted guy in the backfield that can do those kind of things? Obviously, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is an outstanding pass receiver. It's a great pickup for Kansas City. I think the same thing with DeAndre Swift. And some of the guys didn't have some of those skills. Jonathan Taylor, I think he is an outstanding back. But Greg, he's that old-school guy. He's that guy you hand the ball to. He's a 225-pound guy that's got great speed and home run threat. But he's a pounder. He's not a very good receiver. So he slid back in the draft as well. So I think that obviously the position is has changed and evolution has kind of caught up with it a little bit, but there are guys that are going to really help their teams, and I think Swift, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, those are guys that are really going to step up and help their teams in a multifaceted capacity.
We wrap things up, David. Tell us how you and the family are doing during this time.
Well, thanks, Greg. Everybody, we're doing okay. We're keeping our head down, trying to listen to our healthcare people and all the professionals out there that know a hell of a lot more about it than I do, and just trying to make sure that I'm worried because I don't want us to. I know that Governor Kemp wants to open up the state and wants people to get out and the economy get going. So I want to be careful now. We've started to flatten things some. You just don't want to blow all the work that everybody's done, all the efforts that our healthcare people that have been grinding it out on the front lines to get everybody kind of back in line. Don't want to screw that up. So be careful out there. Just make good decisions. Just because they say you can go out doesn't necessarily mean that's the thing to do. Just make good decisions for you and your family. But I hope you guys are all safe, and thanks for having me on with you guys.
You got it, man.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.